The Two Covenants. Covenant theologians claim that the Old and New Covenants, the Law and the Gospel, the Mosaic Covenant and the New, are one and the same, merely different administrations of the one covenant of grace. New Covenant theology, on the other hand, fully argues the biblical position that the two covenants are distinct. Indeed, that Christ fulfilled the Old Covenant and all its shadows, and so brought the law to its God-intended end, and thus rendered it obsolete. As for Purnell, he was clear on this important matter. Christ and the apostles preach the gospel, and understand the law in a gospel way, bringing types and shadows into substance. And the scriptures call upon people to refine all their duties, and all their graces, and all their comforts, and all their assurance, and to act from an evangelical principle or gospel principle, not so much to have the fear of punishment to compel, as the love of Christ to constrain them to walk in newness of life. The gospel is a ministration of life, and the ministration of the law is called a ministration of condemnation. Before going on, I need to draw attention to Purnell's use of the terms covenant of grace and covenant of works. By the covenant of grace, he meant the new covenant, and by the covenant of works, he meant the old or Mosaic covenant. Unfortunately, this might well confuse modern readers, since covenant theologians use both phrases, but mean something very different to Purnell. When they speak of the covenant of grace, they mean the Abrahamic, the Mosaic, and the New Covenant, which to them are merely different administrations of the one covenant of grace. When they speak of the covenant of works, they are referring to the invented, unscriptural concept of a covenant made with all men in Adam. These two covenants form the basis of covenant theology, which is a construct or template that they impose on Scripture, with serious damage and heavy consequences. Purnell had no thought of this when he spoke of the covenant of grace and the covenant of works. I fully understand Purnell's use of the terms, of course. The two phrases, covenant of grace and covenant of works, really do put the finger on the two central issues between the two theologies, new covenant and covenant. Namely, the contrast between the new and the Mosaic covenants in grace and works on the one hand, and yet, on the other, the continuity of redemptive history throughout the two testaments. Nevertheless, since Purnell's terminology would only blur the issue today, I have taken the liberty of replacing his covenant of grace with new covenant, and his covenant of works with old covenant. Purnell: the new covenant is called a testament or will. The new covenant is full of sure mercies and sweet promises that God will give a new heart, a heart to know him, and that he will write his law within us, put his fear into us, cause us to walk in his statutes, forgive our iniquities, cleanse us from all our filthiness, be our God, and make us his people. It is a free covenant, a full and complete covenant, a well-ordered covenant, a sure and firm covenant, a peaceable covenant, an everlasting covenant. To close up all as to the nature of this covenant, let me tell you the main substance is in these words: I will be their God, and they shall be my people. But sprinkling with clean water, taking away the stony heart, and giving a heart of flesh, all these are nothing but the fruits of the covenant. So Christ is given for a covenant to the people. That is, the new covenant takes its being from Christ to us. All mankind was in Adam. As all mankind was in Adam, in the loins of Adam, so Christ is the covenant. And all the covenant is, as it were, in the loins of Christ, and springs to us out of him. In this sense, he is the covenant maker. He is the covenant undertaker. He is the covenant manager. He is the covenant dispenser. He does everything in the covenant, Hence, Christ is also the mediator of the covenant. Thus, Christ is the covenant. Again, consider the vast difference between the law and the gospel. The law affords not a drop of grace. It bestows nothing freely. The language of the law is do and live, if not die. No work, no wages. But in the gospel, the yoke of personal obedience is transferred from believers to their surety. There is nothing for them to pay. All they have to do is to hunger and feed. Their happiness is free in respect of themselves, though costly to Christ, who by his merits has purchased for them whatsoever they would obtain, and by his Spirit works in them whatsoever he requires. The first old covenant is old, the new covenant is new. The first is the law of the letter, the second is the law of the Spirit. The first is a law of death, the second is a law of life. The first was wounding, the second is healing. The first a natural law, the second a spiritual law. The first a law of types, the second a law of substance. The first was to be done away, the second is to continue. The first a covenant of earthly blessings, the second a covenant of spiritual blessings. The first was to stand for a time, the second was to stand forever. The difference between the old covenant and the new covenant may be reduced to three heads. 1. The first was a ministration of the letter, a naked commandment carrying with it no aptness, disposition, or ability to keep it. 2. It breeds enmity and fear, looking on God as a hard taskmaster, and so fills the soul full of terrors. 3. It is a ministration of death, namely, by the curse to them that keep it not. Again, the apostles all along were very careful to keep this new covenant and doctrine of grace distinct from all other things. They all along opposed the law and grace, works and faith, our righteousness and Christ's righteousness, teaching us thereby how needful it is that they, that is the two covenants, be kept each in its place as under, and that we do not, as most do, jumble them both together. Finally, the Father enters into covenant with us and promises to be a Father to us. Christ enters into covenant with us. The Holy Ghost makes a covenant with us, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, testifying of this covenant. In this covenant God unbosoms himself and shines forth upon us, and there is now a sweet intercourse of love between him and your soul. In the blessing of this covenant there is remedy for every malady, promises suitable to every condition, for being and well-being, for this life and that which is to come. Thus Purnell shines a clear light on the difference in the two covenants, and in so doing rightly draws attention to the glories of the new covenant.